If I were to ask each of you if you're living in the shadow, you know, I might get different responses from you. You may answer, I'm trying to live in my dad's shadow. He's such a great man, and I think that's a great one. Some may answer, well, I'm always having to live in the shadow of my older sibling. They're perfect, and I'm expected to be just like them. And those are two separate things, two separate comments, and two separate thoughts about that. It's interesting, in the Bible, we also see two separate positives and negatives, living in the shadow from the Bible. Some places it seems like living in the shadow is a good thing, like dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. In other places it seems like living in the shadow is a bad thing. The covenant you're following is but a shadow of the new covenant. I can see how it can be confusing, and as we put this phrase, living in the shadow, we need to put some context to it to truly understand what we're talking about. So today I want to look at some thoughts about living in the shadow. And so I'm going to put a banner up here so you can kind of see what I'm talking about there, living in the shadow. And so just so we're on the same page and we understand what we're talking about, I'm going to be looking at this from a negative perspective, living in the shadows from a negative perspective. So that way when we're talking about it, you know what we're saying. So often I think people live their lives in the shadows. They live a life that is not real, but a shadow of what is real. Social media may be a part of that. Anyone can post something about their life, real or not real, and have not real friends and have likes and comments on their not real posts from their not real friends. People can feel like they're someone else with someone else's life, and it's not even their own. But I think social media is only a part of that. Many people hide their true identity for many reasons. And before you say, I'm always myself, and people can take me as I am, and they don't like it, they can leave, I don't really care. I will add this thought. In my experience, many who say that are doing the same thing. They're still hiding who they really are to the outside world. Their exterior toughness usually hides their insecurities. Some people are just private, too, and that's okay, too. Other people need attention, and they feel like their real life is boring, so they need to add some drama. Even people who share all their spouse's problems don't really give you the real picture. They only give you what makes them sound look good and make them what they're feel like is right, but it don't really give you the whole story. Some people have a hard time with confrontation, so they will live as if everything's okay, when in reality, it's not. And one day, they explode with an unreasonable response. Some have lived in the shadow for so long, they do not even know what the truth is anymore. Living in the shadows, the way we're talking about today, is deceitfulness, deflection, and dangerous. What does living in the shadows ultimately do? Well, it destroys relationships. It destroys families, companies, churches, friendships. These are destroyed every day by people who are living in the shadows. Nowadays, it seems like people do not want to be honest with people. They say everything is good between us, and then they stop talking to you. I'll tell you this, without a doubt, I have offended you, made you mad, or hurt your feelings at some point in our relationship. And if I haven't, I will. I have that abrasive personality that can hurt others easily. I know that. I'm better today than I was 10 years ago or even 5 years ago. But I'd want someone to come talk to me about that and say to me, hey, that was mean. You're a jerk. I'd rather have that than have someone say, we're leaving the church, but it's not about you. We just feel God leading us. And then go around and tell others how mean I was to them. That creates confusion. And who is the author of confusion? Not God. Never is. God is never in any part of deception. That is not how God works. In fact, he says the complete opposite. He says, go and tell someone when they hurt you. He says, be honest with your spouse. He says, be truthful to your friends. We often live our life in the shadows, but can we work on that? Can we try to allow our church to be a community of faithfulness, truthfulness, a community to be honest, to share, a community to get hurt and be hurt by and be okay with that? Because we love each other, because of grace, is that something we can do? Is that something that's hard to do? Is that something that we could do? So I'm going to ask you this. If you're on there commenting this morning, I'm asking you this. As a community of believers, is it hard to allow this in their life to be a community of honesty, the community of truth, a community to get hurt by and be hurt by and be okay with that? What do you guys think? Anybody comments on that? Well, look, I know it's difficult sometimes to put ourselves in that place to say, yeah, it's okay to be hurt. But because we love each other and we have grace, are we able to do that? I don't see anybody commenting on that. You know, if we think about you know, being honest with each other, if we think about being truthful with each other, if we think about being careful with each other, sometimes we can hurt each other's feelings, and sometimes we can be mean to each other, and that's okay. We should be okay with that. Is that something too hard to ask? Is that really a hard thing to ask in the church today? Any thoughts? Go ahead and put comments on there, even if we go past it. People can read them a little bit later. Let's continue on. You know, yeah. Daggy said, you know me. That is true. Here, I'll put a little comment on there. You know me. And that's exactly right. We are sometimes have abrasive in there, and we can be that way. Shelby, I appreciate that. I haven't hurt your feelings yet. I will, though. I just have abrasive personality. John's right. He said, you know, words can be daggers. And daggers are hard to, you know, defend sometimes, especially when they come at the back, you know. Kayla is right. It's hard because honesty sometimes it hurts. It hurts the other person. Hey, I got a friend on here, Matt. Matt Hayden's a police officer in Haven, Kansas. Good to see you, Matt. Rachel's also sometimes it's hard to do because definitely makes our friendship stronger. And it is. I mean, that's part of it. You know, it's difficult to be honest with each other, but ultimately we're stronger because of it. So if we think about that and being honest with each other being real with each other, that's what church is supposed to be about. That's what we're friends are supposed to be about. So let's continue on. What about living a religious life in the shadows? Do we live a religious life on false ideas and tradition? Do we quote man-made statements as if they're biblical verses? Do we hold the thoughts, any ideas of the Old Testament as proof verses of how we live today? Are we living out our life in Christ in the shadows? Hey, look with me at this passage in the Bible. If you have a Bible handy, turn over to Hebrews 10:1. I'll wait. Go grab a Bible if you got one handy. Hebrews 10:1, and then I'll read it to you. We're going to look at verses 1 through 3. I'll put the first part of that about that. So Hebrews 10:1 says, for the law is a shadow of good things to come. So obviously, the good things to come is the good part. The shadow is the bad part. It says, for the law is a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of those things. It could never, by the same sacrifices which they offer continually year after year after year, perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, since the worshipers, once purified, would no longer be conscious of sins? Here, the writer here in Hebrews shows that the old covenant sacrificial system was temporary and imperfect. You know, the laws in the old covenant showed that the gifts and sacrifices offered could not perfect the conscience or make them whole, make them holy, of those who worship. It could not clean the soul. God designed that old system, yeah, but it was there to point ahead to a superior final sacrifice of our high priest Christ. Christ, who offered his own blood to obtain for us eternal redemption and to make us whole once and for all. Already in the book of Hebrews, the writer listed off the items found in the original tabernacle. A table of incense, a table of showbread, the candlestick, and the Ark of the Covenant. He does not explain the symbolic meaning of those things, but makes his point clear. These things were temporary and looked ahead to Christ. When it comes to our faith life, many of us are still living in the shadows rather than enjoying real life. In Galatians, Paul described the Old Testament law as a schoolmaster or a principle that was designed to show us Christ, to be a shadow of the fulfillment of the law, Christ.